Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Without question, there is tension in the United States these days. Divisions, anger, a clash of politics and ideology. Amid all of the rhetoric and noise, you might wonder, will we ever get along again? For some perspective, let's peer back in time, a century, to another tumultuous period during which one city here in Westchester County became a shining example for the rest of the nation. It is a story not widely known.
I'm very proud of New Rochelle. Of course, I wasn't there at the time, but it's a hard story for me to tell because I get so choked up about it. And I get choked up because these people put aside all differences and all self-motivations to just give and give generously for the greater good. And it's a lesson we certainly could all live by today.
New Rochelle historian Barbara Davis says when the world was at war in 1917, xenophobia took hold. Anti-German sentiment simmered in New Rochelle.
A federal agent by the name of McCarthy started raiding New Rochelle German establishments in the first week of December 1917.
The German population was vilified.
The headlines on the New York Times read, New Rochelle, hellhole of vice.
Federal agents accused the German taverns of corrupting young army recruits headed to Fort Slocum on David's Island.
They came from all walks of life. They all went to fight for democracy. They came from Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, all poured in. Fort Slocum was the busiest recruiting depot east of the Mississippi.
Local volunteers stepped up to welcome and care for these young men headed off to war.
And one woman in particular, Mrs. Bedros Kazanjian, organized the women big time to do the work of the Red Cross, to set up canteens for all these young boys coming into New Rochelle who were coming with virtually nothing except a knapsack. And they would make sure they had all the necessities or niceties, from candy to cigarettes to postcards to stamps, and would make them feel warm and welcome to New Rochelle and see them off to the ferries. They even had a canteen right at the dock.
So many recruits traveled to New Rochelle ahead of the draft. Fort Slocum was inundated.
So boys started pouring into New Rochelle. The first train on December 10th had hundreds and hundreds of young men. The second train, more and more. Third train, more and more. They started pouring into the city. They were taking the trolley down to the dock. By the end of the day, Fort Slocum closed. They stopped running the ferry. There was no more service. These young men were stranded. At the same time, it was bitterly, bitterly cold. There was a blizzard and no place for these young men to go. Well, New Rochelle mobilized.
Barbara Davis says folks in New Rochelle joined together to avert a crisis.
Mrs. Kazanjian got her women, the women cooking round the clock. Mrs. Hamburger made gallons and gallons of clam chowder. All the purveyors in town brought food. They brought meat. They brought fresh bread. All the churches opened their doors. All the synagogues opened their doors. The schools closed so that these young men could be housed in the schools. Each train was met. The young men were marched to the Knights of Columbus Hall, where they were organized and then sent to these various places. People brought bedding. They brought entertainment. They had vaudevillians perform. They cooked. They did everything possible to make these young men feel comfortable. And this went on the entire week.
Differences melted away in this diverse city.
We have reports from Holy Family Church, from Ansha Sholem Synagogue, to the Masonic Temple, to Trinity School, all housed these young men, as well as private homes. By the end of the week, nearly 10,000 young men had been safely housed, clothed, fed, and entertained. And as a result, the press did many, many editorials talking about the fact that this crisis happened, that New Rochelle was in a unified manner, like never seen before, got together and made sure that these young American boys were taken care of and taken care of very well. And there was no, there didn't matter what religion, didn't matter where you're from, didn't matter what background or who was taking care of you. Germania Hall, the same place that had been shut down by the federal marshals, was the first to open its doors.
They slept on cots, benches, wherever there was space.
They were sleeping in the pews. They were, people brought bedding in from all over. When they say in this book, New Rochelle, her part in the Great War, that every single New Rochellian contributed in one way or the other by, you know, schlepping things, cooking, entertaining, singing, dancing. So every single house of worship was opened. Even it spilled over a little into Pelham and Mount Vernon into some private homes.
The monumental effort did not pass unnoticed.
These young men started taking up collections. They raised money to have a plaque made, which still hangs in the rotunda of City Hall, thanking the people of New Rochelle. Letters poured in from all these little towns in the Northeast, mayors thanking New Rochelle, boys saying, I've never seen someplace so doggone nice in my life. The way these people opened their doors and gave us everything, just about the shirts off their backs. And they also made a plaque for Trinity School. And there was an act of Congress thanking New Rochelle.
Barbara Davis says this is a valuable lesson from our past. There is more that unites us than divides us.
The story is so poignant because it involves a crisis and people banding together to help. And there were so many different people banding together. You know, all differences were put aside, all, whether it was religion, whether it was money, whether it was you couldn't stand your next door neighbor. No, you put that aside to help in this crisis and help these young boys who are on their way to war, a war that was taking such enormous losses.
In New Rochelle, Sean Adams, WCBS News Radio 880.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.